We're going to listen to scripture together just now, and our first reading is from John's Gospel. I hope you've been praying for Carolyn this morning, because it's actually quite a difficult passage to read, is John 17. The words are easy enough. But, and it's good to know that Chris is a bit better.
Yes, he's fine, thank you.
Good.
Thank you very much for your prayer.
We like to make a fuss every now and then. Or he does. yes, it's John chapter 17, verses 13 to 23. It didn't look too bad when I looked at it. I'm a bit worried now. That's why he thinks it's hard. But well, we'll find out now. Okay, John 17, verse 13. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be fully sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Thank you. It was a bit tricky, you're right.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Isaiah chapter 8, we commence our reading at verse 11. The Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of his people. He said, "Do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. And he will be a sanctuary. But for both houses of Israel, he will be a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. Many of them will stumble. They will fall and be broken. They will be snared and captured. Bind up the testimony and seal up the law among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will put my trust in him."
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Bob. As I was listening to that reading, what came to my mind was folk that I have known who shape their lives according to the things that they believe that the stars are saying to them. You met people like that who really genuinely read horoscopes and live according to them. They have this firm idea that there's nothing more dangerous than ignoring what's written in the stars for you. And as for walking under ladders and having your house number as 13, well, that makes life much worse. And you think, here are people who are, well, they're afraid of the wrong things. They're fearful because of stuff that doesn't matter. And that's what Isaiah is saying to the people who listen to him. The society of your day, he's saying to the prophet, is afraid of the wrong stuff. Afraid of all sorts of things around them. Their neighboring nations, people with great power. They're afraid of all the wrong stuff. They don't care about me. But the reality is that they should get their priorities right. They should be afraid of me, and then there's nothing else for them to be afraid of. And I'm a God who cares for them and is compassionate towards them. Hallowed be your name. It's another really straightforward line in the Lord's Prayer. And yet again, I find myself wondering exactly what it might mean. Newer translations, may your holy name be honored. And that's helpful. May your holy name be honored. Are you worried about your reputation ever? Does it matter to you what people think of you? Now, most of us will probably say, no, not really. The truth is that most of us actually do care a bit what other people say about us. We're not too worried about whether we're famous or whether the world sees us as important or if people occasionally get the wrong end of the stick. That's okay. But we do like people to say about us what is true. And we have shorthand for that. We talk about that being our name, our good name. Our good name. The name of God isn't just a reference to the word that we use to describe God. Like on a form where you fill in first name, last name. I sort of wonder what God puts in there. He thinks to himself, well, do I put Yahweh down as first name or last name? It's not that. References to the name of God in Scripture are not particularly about the letters that we use to represent God's name. Can I go on a brief diversion? I ought to do this at least once. Jehovah. Common name used of God, isn't it? You hear that all over the place, Jehovah. Can I just explain where that one comes from? When God is speaking to Moses and having this conversation about the name of God that that Moses gets given is this rather cryptic name. Tell them I am sent you. And that in the Hebrew Bible is just four characters. In English characters, YHWH. The Jews would not speak the name of God out loud. So when they came to those four letters in the Old Testament, and they were reading out, they were doing the reading from Isaiah or something, on a Saturday, it was their turn. When they got to those four letters, YHWH, instead of saying, however they would have said that, they said the word Lord instead. The Hebrew Old Testament was written down as consonants only. The vowels, which were little dots around the letters, they weren't normally included. And they trusted to the fact that people knew what they were reading to get the right vowels with the right consonants. Occasionally that caused a bit of confusion. So later on in the Jews' history, somebody went back and added in all the consonants. But when they got to the word for God, those four letters, YHWH, they knew that everybody was going to be saying the word for Lord. So they put the vowels for that instead. So the Hebrew word for Lord, Adonai, those vowels went in with the four consonants, YHWH. If you try to say that mixture, you end up with something that sounds a lot like Jehovah. So it's a sort of an, it, well, it's not a nonsense word, but it's a constructed word. It's the consonants of Yahweh with the vowels of Adonai, and you end up with Jehovah. So, now you know. Talking about God's name isn't a reference to Yahweh or Jehovah or anything else. It's a reference to the person, most of all to their reputation, to their standing, to their honor. So to pray that the name of God is honored is to pray that the character of God is honored, that God is seen for who he is. May your holy name be honored. When people speak about you, may they treat you in conversation with the holiness, the honor that you deserve. Okay, second complicated word. We've dealt with this bit about God's name. What about holy? Now, you all know what that means. Maybe not. What does it mean to be holy? Well, again, two things. I wonder, if I was to come round to your house and have a quick look round, if I look in the kitchen, I might find the crockery that you use every day. Perhaps, I know, you've all got wonderful homes, but it might be that one or two pieces have tiny little cracks around the edges, and maybe some of it doesn't exactly match, but it's close. But then, if I carry on looking around and I go into one of the posher rooms in your house, would I find another set of crockery that never gets used for anything? You're saving it for best, but somehow or other, best never happens. Well, something being holy in Scripture is a little bit like that. Set apart for those special moments. The furnishings of the temple and the tabernacle, they were holy because that's the only thing that they were ever used for. They were set apart, kept separately, treated reverently. They had to be the best, they had to be clean, and they had to be set apart. And that was a reminder to the people of God that they were supposed to be set apart for God, kept clean, and used for his purposes. So the fact that they had these separate items was a reminder that they were supposed to be a holy people. And because of that, that second meaning, holy as doing the right thing, living good lives, that came about. Separate. And because separate and special and clean and important, because of that, then right, honorable, good, true. So, to ask that God's name is to be kept holy is to say, keep it special. Now, there's one obvious meaning there. And that's about not using the name of God as a curse, using it casually. Yes, and that's true. Some of you will have heard me preaching on the commandment, you will not misuse the name of the Lord, dishonoring the name of God. Same idea, same thing happening. But the commandment is not just about honoring the word, remember, but the character, the reputation, the name of God. To misuse the name of the Lord Well, that's to put a fish sign on the window of your business and then charge people extortionate prices. That's dishonoring the name of God. It's naming God's name and then doing the things that don't honor him. And this part of the Lord's Prayer, may your holy name be honored, has a lot in common with that commandment. I'll talk about the difference in just a moment. Rowan Williams, one time Archbishop of Canterbury, says this: to ask that God's name be hallowed, be looked upon as holy, is to ask that in the world people will understand the presence of God among them with awe and reverence and won't use the name or the idea of God as a kind of weapon to put other people down or as a magic to make themselves feel safe, but rather approach the idea of God, the name of God, with the veneration and humility that's demanded. Hallowed be thy name means understand what you're talking about when you're talking about God. This is serious. This is the most wonderful and frightening reality that we could imagine. There's an old traditional Jewish prayer that had some of the same ideas. Here's the prayer. Glorified and sanctified be God's great name throughout the world, which he has created according to his will. May he establish his kingdom in your lifetime and during your days, and within the life of the entire house of Israel, speedily and soon, and say, Amen. It's the prayer of Kaddish. It comes from about 900 AD, so it's not earlier than the Lord's Prayer, and picks up so many of its themes. But then I looked at John 17, the prayer of Jesus for his disciples and explicitly for us, for those who will believe. And Jesus says about us, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Paul, writing in 2 Timothy, says this: if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. You can't make God holier than he is. But Jesus seems to be saying the hallowing of God, the honoring of God, is connected to the sanctification of the people of God. What was true in the Old Testament, that God's people were to understand themselves as holy, set apart for God's use, put right, well, that's what Jesus is saying too. Commandment said, do nothing that dishonors the name of God. You are the visible mark of God's holiness in the world. But so far, I've sort of preached on the third commandment. Don't dishonor the name of God. But that's not what Jesus is doing here. He's taking a prohibition and turning it round into a prayer. Something negative, don't do this, and he's turning it into something positive. He's saying, Lord God, in us, in your people, may your name be honored and made holy. Where the Old Testament says, don't mess it up, Jesus says, show us how to make it shine. May I live in such a way as to make people think well of God. May we live and speak in such a way as to make people think well of God. And as I was thinking about this, and as I was praying about this, one impression above everything else came across to me. And it was this. When you're talking about this passage, make sure that you start off by encouraging my people. This, hallowing the name of God, hallowing his holy name, honoring his holy name, this is what you already do. Every time you go the extra mile, every time you turn the other cheek, every time you reach out in compassion to someone that you see around you, every time you act in a way that is helpful, encouraging, positive, every time you lift up somebody who is brought low, every time you remember to pray, as you've said, for someone who's in need, you're doing exactly this. May your holy name be honored. When we live the life that Jesus gives us to live, we're doing this. So don't hear me saying, you're rubbish at this. God is saying you need to be holier. No. What God is saying to us in the words of Jesus is, you have opportunities to make God's name shine in this world. You're already doing it. Go on doing it. It's brilliant. Keep doing it. Let me show you. John Piper, when he's writing about this verse, draws attention to the ways in which we can honor the holy name of God. I just want to share with you three of the ones that he mentions, because they're really helpful. What does it mean to honor the name of God? And he starts off by talking about Numbers. Numbers 20, verse 12. What does it mean to honor the name of God? The Lord said to Moses, you remember this is the occasion where Moses wallops the rock with his stick, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you'll not bring this community into the land I give them. How do we honor God? We honor God by trusting him. By trusting him. By going out on a limb for him. By believing that he'll keep his promises. And taking the risk. And when we give sacrificially of our time or our energy or our resources, we're trusting him to keep his promises and honoring his holy name. Isaiah 8, the passage that we heard read a little while ago, Isaiah 8, verse 12. How do we honor God? The prophet says, do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Do not dread it. How do we honor God? By valuing his truth above every other voice. By listening to his words and saying, well, when it comes down to it, who am I going to trust? Who am I going to rely on? Who am I going to believe? I shall take my God seriously and value his truth. How do we honor the holy name of God? Well, fairly obviously, by doing what he says. By doing what he says. Leviticus 22 and verse 31. Keep my commands and follow them. I'm the Lord. Do not profane my holy name. I must be acknowledged as holy by the Israelites. Keep my commands and follow them? How do we honour the holy name of God whenever we do what he asks us to do? We have the opportunity in our lives to make the name of God shine. This week, the things that we do, the way that we live our lives, Jesus says, help people to speak well of our God because of the lives that you live in his name. May your holy name be honored. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, that you give us the opportunity to represent you in this world, to live in your name, to speak in your name. Help us, Lord, to make your name shine. Through Christ we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a great hymn as we come to a close, one that speaks of the holiness of God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Bits here.